Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Quantum tunneling is one of the success stories of quantum physics in explaining our real world in a way that classical physics or the everyday experience doesn't simply work. Now, quantum tunneling is exactly that. There's a wall, which is to our sensibilities impenetrable, and something held within that wall confinement suddenly appears on the other side, or it looks as though it appears on the other side. So I'm going to discuss the conceptualization of it in terms of everyday situations, and then look at two sort of solutions for it. So let's start off with quantum tunneling. Say you have the most notorious criminals in a jail, and there's a large fence there. And what happens is that over a period of a year or 100 years, a prisoner disappears from the inside of the prison and just miraculously appears on the outside of the prison. They haven't tunneled under the barrier, they haven't tunneled through the barrier, they just simply, their existence appears to change, well, it actually does change, and they disappear from inside the prison and reappear on the outside of the prison. And that's a very disturbing thing. Another example is that you're inside, standing, looking at the Hoover Dam, and you suddenly get a huge bucket of water falls on you, splashes you. You're on the outside of the dam, you're looking across, you're beneath the dam wall level. And what has happened is that a bucket of water has suddenly appeared on the opposite side of a barrier. And this is something which happens all the time at very small scales, but defies our common sensibility. When it defies our common sensibility, two things happen. Either you get a whole heap of journalists writing about how fantastic and ununderstandable it is, or you have to take a little quiet look and actually work through it quantum mechanically. So let's talk more about it. Rather than one of the things we tend to do is say that a particle is constantly going to the side of a wall. So what I'd like to do is talk about another thing. You know those skate parks where skateboard is going up and down this parabola that's built up. Now, what we're saying, this quantum tunneling happens is that they go up to a certain height, have a certain energy, and they disappear from inside the skate rink and go outside the skate rink, in this case, being just appearing in midair with no skate rink underneath them, and they just fall to the ground. So they may be going up and down 3 meters, and they'll appear at this 3 meter path and just fall down. Now, what we say is that, do you think that's incredible? So what we do is we say the word very small, and we say, rather than wall, we say potential barrier, and we say a particle keeps on going up against it, and because it's quantum mechanical, in inverted commas, every once in a while it will go against a wall and actually fall through it. And this process we know is here, and we most commonly cited is nuclear radiation. That is, you've got a nucleus and the alpha particle would love to move away from it, and that alpha particle is held in by a potential barrier called strong nuclear force. But every once in a while, it actually just appears on the opposite side as if by magic. Quantum particles can appear and disappear throughout the universe within the electric cloud, and that cloud area can be a small amount on the opposite side, so there's a small probability that it will disappear inside the barrier and reappear on the outside. Sounds like guff. And yeah, it's pretty well guff. It's Copenhagen School, which I rally against. I'm just I don't know. I feel as though someone's grabbing my head and pushing in a bucket of cold water on a freezing day. This is the Copenhagen School. So that thing I described of the a skater in a park or a marble in a bowl is the sort of idea, the sort of half-bastardized quantum mechanics of the Copenhagen School. So they say, one of the first things is you can't ask certain questions. There's a law of physics which says you can't ask certain questions, and the electrons are little... So imagine you have a marble in a breakfast bowl, and it can go up to certain heights of the breakfast bowl. And quantum mechanically, we say it can go on the opposite side. The Copenhagen thing, it says, you know how you can roll it from side to side? You can't do that. The ball disappears and reappears to fill a wave function distribution, and it does their sort of like speckling. It listens. So you imagine every little pixel in there glows at a certain frequency. Most common in the center is in the low ground state. And in the case of something escaping a potential barrier bowl, some of that wave function occurs outside that bowl. And basically, people are intimidated with this answer. It's an incorrect answer. And let me give you a little bit of a background story. This idea as a wave function being a mathematical envelope which describes the probability of an actual particle, which we don't believe exists, but we say it must exist because I really want it to exist. This particle's got a very, very tiny size because it's so light, and it actually can move either side. People call it de Broglie and various things. It's got wave-like particles properties. There's that idea, the Copenhagen School. The history of it is that it's the Born as a physicist, B-O, there's an H in there, H-R-N, Born, it's not B-O-R-N, it's a B-O-R, something or other. Again, look, I'm the person who's recovering from sort of a mental slap in the head, a sort of insult to my brain, so I've started getting the memories and everything back. But I do remember this guy because he used to come out to Melbourne every once in a while. Why did he come up to Melbourne? Because his niece was the famous actress in the Grease musical called Olivia Newton-John. So her uncle was this German physicist. And this German physicist, he did a few good things. The Born-Oppenheimer approximation is a great sort of a crutch for molecular physics. Is great, but he did another thing. Is he came out with this Copenhagen School, edited this book, and he said, "Hey, Schrodinger, can you write a chapter?" And Schrodinger said, "Yes, if you show me what's in the book." And he said, "Give me the chapter first, mate, I'll give you the chapter first." Never let Schrodinger have a look at it, and it says, Born's book on quantum mechanics, and my idea is that the energy wave function, so the wave function of the particle, is just a mathematical envelope, and it describes how likely it is for that particle to appear at a particular point. No physics, no explanation, break a few laws of physics, or it's all right, I'll write that in my chapter. And then chapter 3 is written by, I don't know whether it's chapter 3, is written by Schrodinger. Now, Schrodinger, when he read the book, was just beside himself. He said, look, a wave function doesn't have that reality to it. So even though it was attributed to Schrodinger, it was a sleight of hand. And this is one of the great scandals of quantum mechanics, that Schrodinger was tricked into being seen to endorse the Copenhagen School, and then teachers have been teaching it ever since. And when it doesn't make sense, basically students are bullied in. They say, "Oh, other big physicists believe it." Or look, there may be a few really woeful scientists who believe it. Unfortunately, I've met a lot of them. A lot of them actually do believe it. It actually just makes me cry some of the time. So what happens? So you've got a potential. What really happens? So one of the things leading up to it, I described how you actually calculate a wave function. And so it goes like this, that there's an energy level and a potential curve. And when the potential curve is positive, so there's actually the energy is less than the potential energy, what happens is that the wave function follows an exponential. And what that means is that if it comes in at the wrong angle, it will exponentially explode positive or negative. If it comes in at just the right energy level, it will go to zero. In between, it's the exponent is complex, and if it's complex, e to a complex number will be a sine wave. This is this beautiful, beautiful thing, but I talked you through on how to do it just by running an Excel spreadsheet. You can actually run an Excel spreadsheet and get a picture. I should encourage the effort and post it up. Now, so this quantum tunneling thing is exceptionally common. Quantum tunneling is really the basics of a whole lot of things. Smelling, when you smell something, I'm sure there's quantum tunneling involved in that. This tunneling microscopes, the oxygen spectrum of the absorption spectrum in the sun. There's quantum tunneling here. That is, it's at oxygen's excited to an excited state, but it's bound for a short distance, and then beyond that, it's not bound, and so you get this decay. So let's take a little look at it. So quantum physics says no to the Copenhagen school. It says no to point particles. Quantum physics has a few things that we have to tell you. One is that there's no such thing as a surface. So you can't have a little marble, because we can't allow it, because it's got a surface. You know, energy wise, that's almost impossible. That's insane. I can't believe how insane the idea of quantum physics is. Okay, but we really want our classical particles, which is basically a little marble. And of course, to get a quantum mechanical marble is just almost impossible. The marble, because there's no surface, even the surface of your marble extends out into space a bit. It's just so absurd. So what we're saying is that if I have a potential barrier, which means it's at an energy level, which sits at an energy level where it can escape, so you can imagine have a crater, a volcano crater, and you have a bowling ball rolling up the inside of it. The bowling ball can magically appear on the other side of the crater, and we're going to give you an idea and roll down the mountain. And that's what happens when an alpha particle comes out of a nucleus. It appears outside the nuclear force and then rolls down at high energy as it gets repelled. So you've got, it's got a 2 plus, and so uranium is 92 plus, so it goes down to 90. I'll have to remember what that element is, but it's got a 90 high volcano, and on the opposite side it just rolls down the Coulombic hill. So what's happening? So I don't know. It's just so many potentials like this quantum mechanical tunneling, as it's called. It's just almost a misnomer. Its tunneling implies that it has to get through a barrier by actually interfering with the barrier. No, it doesn't. So if you have a barrier, you have a potential, and you select an energy level in that potential, in a position R, in which the actual potential is above that energy level, it will exponentially grow. You may as well start off by saying it exponentially grows. And it will then, when it's at a point, at an energy level, where the barrier is less than an energy level, it will have kinetic energy. And instead of having an exponential growth, there will be an e to the I x factor. An e to the I x is a sine wave, so it will turn into a sine wave, part of a sine wave. And so what will happen is that we'll start up and curve over like a sine wave. And then if that sine wave is right, it hits the other edge and it begins to decay, exponential decay into the other side of the barrier. And so it's a potential barrier where E is less than the potential energy, the barrier it is. It doesn't say it's not classically forbidden. It means that it decays. It actually decays into that barrier. So actually quantum mechanicals, like there's no such, like quantum mechanical tunneling applies to every single wave function. Every single wave function extends beyond a region where the energy is less than the potential. It has a little bit of negative potential, negative kinetic energy as it goes and goes into any barrier. So every single barrier or potential energy curves where the energy, potential energy is greater than the total energy of the particle, it will exponentially decay. It won't stop. So it's like think of it. It's like diffuses through a wall. So it's like if you hit your fist against an iron beam, you'll get really hurt. But if you can imagine your fist just oozing through that metal surface, it's hard to get your mind around it. So let's have a parabola, and towards the right, it's, instead of going up, it hooks over and gently goes down. That's your potential energy curve. And if you're a particle or some sort of fermion in an energy level which is high, what will happen as you go from zero point, you will exponentially grow until you reach a point where the energy is greater than the actual energy barrier. And at this point, the relative curvature will stop growing exponentially and start to curve over and undergo some sine waves. Then we'll reach the other side and it will exponentially decay. Now, if there's not sufficient barrier, the exponential decay will not be down to an infinitely small amount, a known amount. And so your wave function will be a large amount inside the barrier and a very small amount outside the barrier. So, say, in certain cases with alpha particle decay or decay takes millions of years, and your particle will be, the size of the wave function outside the barrier will be a million billionth of the size inside the current barrier. That is, it's a billion times more likely to be inside the carrier, and 1 in a billion, it will be on the outside. And people say, look, it's stochastic, it's statistical. It's the number of times it hits the inside of the barrier. Well, of course, it's not a particle. It's not moving back and forth, hitting the barrier all the time. You actually calculate it with Schrodinger's wave equation, and the wave itself doesn't die out completely before it reaches the end. Now, what this means is that the shallower the barrier, the more loose, the broader the energy level is. And what this means is there's a broader range of acceptable energy levels where it is decay. It will decay to a part where will when it escapes. So it escapes the energy barrier. It continues off in a little sine wave, and what that means is that if there's a small barrier, it will decay quickly, and it'll be a range of energy levels. And so what that means is that you can see the lifetime of a particle by measuring its energy distribution given out. So if there's a large energy distribution, it's a shallow barrier and it lasts a very short time. Conversely, if something lasts 10,000 years, it will be ultra, 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 ultra narrow coming out. And sort of how you describe it is that you've got a range of energy levels coming out, which in free space gives you a range of frequencies. And with a range of frequencies, you can play around with it and create a particle out of a range of coherent frequencies coming out. My attempt to explain it. I'll have a few goes as explaining some quantum mechanics and some quantum mechanical mysteries. But in terms of tunneling, it's an exponential, frustrated exponential decay of the wave function as it goes through a region which is classically forbidden. The actual potential energy is greater than total energy. And in quantum mechanics, rather than going to zero or being disallowed, it just exponentially decays. And if the barrier is small enough, the exponential decay is not complete. And that corresponds to allowing two things. Allows a range of energy levels which can satisfy it. So rather than being an absolutely fine line, it's actually a broadened line. And then allows a statistical distribution of potential traveling wave functions, which corresponds to the production of a particle every once in a while. So there's a bit of quantum mechanics to do in it, but there's definitely no need for a there's no need for all this superstitious guff about you run up to a wall and you suddenly appear on the opposite side. That is clearly common sense nonsense, and it's common sense nonsense because you don't describe yourself as exponentially decaying into the wall, but you do describe it for a wave function. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.